Are you holding my camera properly?
Swerve, girl.
Stop, both of you!
My mom. My parents asked if their grandchildren could visit them for a week.
Here we are.
This is where our mom grew up. I've wanted to spend time with you for so long.
Miss you guys!
Mom, we're having a great time.
I have not seen your Nana this happy in years. Bedtime here is 9:30. It's probably best you two shouldn't come out of your room after that. See you in the morning.
9:30?
9:30.
What is that? It's 10:47. We think there's someone outside the door.
Grandmother's fine. It's like somebody talking in their sleep.
What's he doing? They're weird during the day.
We're just cleaning it.
And even weirder at night?
I can't take this fucking genre no more. I just can't do it anymore. I mean, and not to mention, I saw a poster for that fucking Paranormal Activity movie that's coming out no more. But, people, we're here to talk about The Visit. And I say we, I mean me. I didn't get a screener for this. I had to go out of my own way, out of my own time to go see this. And something in the back of my head said, don't do it, P1. You got the other guy out there, whatever, and you and Cody did a great review on that one. Just let it slide, let it slide. You don't have to do The Visit. Something told me not to go see this fucking movie. And what did I do anyway? Loyal to the cause, I guess, where I went to go see it anyway. And my God, I cannot tell you. I'm about to repeat what I said in the last horror film. This film is fucking boring. Boring. The second act in this movie is just fucking tedious. But people, you already knew that about the review. You already knew that I was going to talk shit about this. You already knew that. I mean, come on now. It's not a horror movie. I don't lie. Although, is this considered more of a suspense thriller or a horror? But whatever. It doesn't matter. Blumhouse did it, so it's a horror. And you know, when Blumhouse gets their hands on things, Blumhouse seemed to... What's the term I'm looking for? Oh, fuck things up. But, so we got Catherine Hahn here playing the mom. We've got two little kids, Tyler and Becca. Tyler's played by Ed Oxenbold, and Becca's played by Olivia De Jonge, who, Ed Oxenbold, if you guys remember him, he was from Alexander and the Terrible, No Good, Terrible, Fucked Up, Bad, Horrible, Misunderstanding Day, or some shit like that, which I thought he was cool in. It was an okay movie, it wasn't the greatest, but it was like, you know, hey, whatever, family fun, it's cool. And apparently there's a story around in this movie where it's going around that Catherine Hahn, she kind of fell in love with their dad at a very young age. She ran away with him. Then next you know, he ended up leaving her, moving to Palo Alto here in California by the San Francisco area. And the parent, her parents, Catherine Hahn's parents, hated her for it. And they haven't talked to each other in about 10 or 15 years, one of those. So basically, the kids are... I guess they all looked up the grandparents or whatever and stuff, and they found out that, you know, they help at a nursing home or whatever. They do volunteer work where they consult people and shit like that. They're real nice, and they want to see the kids. So the kids have decided we're going to go spend the weekend with our grandparents. Meanwhile, the girl, Becca, she's doing this movie is found footage, by the way, too, people, because it's fucking Blumhouse. You can't have a Blumhouse movie without found footage being involved somehow. And... she's filming it for a documentary in her school. Basically, she's a fucking hipster and the boy is a wigger. If you don't understand what wigger is, people, it's a white guy who acts like a nigger. Thus, the term wigger is created. Yes, I just explained what a wigger is. Yes. And he's a laid-back wigger, though, at that. Tame wigger at that as well, too. So, they go spend a week at their grandparents. And then, you know, we find on the train ride to their grandparents that, they're pretty much sending their mom off to go with her boyfriend on a cruise. I forgot where. I don't give a shit neither, to be honest. And sure enough, they get to the place where the grandparents was. Becca's doing her little documentary thing. She's talking all this film cred shit or whatever. I mean, she sounded like the most ultimate hipster you ever heard. But I have to say she's not annoying, so, but you can tell the hipsterisms in her is kicking out. The boy, he raps about three times. I personally didn't call him a wigger at the beginning. I just said, okay, he likes hip-hop. He likes rapping. And he's a white rapper at that, too, because he's got a brain on him, so he's using, like, big-ass words and shit. The only time he really became a wigger was towards the end of the movie where he thought it'd be funny to add in the documentary a rap version of him or something like that. And he had a hat on backwards and gold chain and shit like that. But they kind of did that up for laughs, so... He was a funny wigger. He was an annoying wigger like Malibu's Most Wanted or nothing like that. But so I think about like day three, they started realizing, you know, they were hearing some noises at night. Strange things are going on. They seem to be getting wilder and wilder. And then thus, you know, we find out that these old fucking crazy bastards are crazy as hell. They're not normal. And that's we're on the run to save our lives pretty much. So the opening, I'm not going to lie. The opening, I was going along with it as far as I can, but I gotta say, the found footage really kind of fucked this movie up. There was no need for this movie to even be found footage. And the thing was, too, is that even though it was in found footage, it didn't look like shit. Like those Paranormal Activity movies, it didn't look like somebody was filming it with the camera they were having. But at the same time, the camera was ruining because the camera angles were pointing at a wall, pointing at the sky, pointing at some shoes or some shit like that. And found footage, I'm sorry, that shit just did not look... Actually, found footage kind of ruined this movie in a way, since... It, if not, then it took a star off at the most. But the leads here, the kids, I thought they were cool. The Tyler, played by Ed Oxenbolt, I thought he was funny as hell. I mean, he wasn't laugh out loud funny, but he had some moments where it was like chuckle, and he was just like, okay, this is kind of cool. Adding a little... You know, a little adventurous side in here. You know, a little bit of comedy or whatever, if you will. You know, it's not a fucking horror comedy. It's not like Dale Tucker versus Evil. It's not like Zombieland or anything like, or Evil Dead 2 or anything like that at all. No, it's not like that. It just has moments where it's a little bit of comedy. And the reason why those comedy elements is there is because your characters actually have charisma. Been saying that for the longest horror films, whatever. If you add some charisma or some actors in there who can actually act, then maybe you can get a pass, whatever. And I believe that Becca and Tyler, they both have some charisma here. That's one thing I actually did enjoy about the film, is that neither one of these kids ever got annoying to me. You got Peter McRobbie, who playing Papa. And who playing Nana? Deanna Dunnigan. Deanna Dunnigan, she's the one that's getting crazy. I mean, there's scenes in here. She's fucking doing Spider-Man techniques. I mean, she's swarming from... She's like a fucking crackhead in D.C. or something like that. One minute you see her jump from a fucking tree and she just skid-skaddling right across the hallway and shit. And then I guess she sees the door open. She's like, ooh, the kids want to play. And she runs in that motherfucker too. And there's even a scene where she's butt-ass naked, clawing the walls or something like that or whatever. And I ain't gonna lie, that girl had an ass on her. And for a 70-year-old woman, that ass was looking really nice or whatever. So, you know, if I was just a neighbor and just walked by, I'd probably, like, give her a little, you know... little spank on the ass and be like, hey, there you go, grandma. Shoot, she's a fucking gilf in this movie. And you got Catherine Hahn playing the mom. She was cool. I actually did kind of like her. You know, Catherine Hahn is always someone you could just like and smile at in film. The casting here is not bad. The acting is not bad. What is bad is this fucking story. And what's bad about it is once we get past the whole introduction, they're here, whatever, and blah, blah, blah. But even if you look at that, though, still... it's still kind of fucking boring. There's a lot of just filming shit going on here and just like, oh, what was it like growing up? Or this is where mom did this and that and stuff like that. There's a lot of fucking nonsense where you're just sitting there and you're just kind of like, okay, I was cool with this at first, but where the fuck is this going? I mean, there's some cool elements in here where this movie tries to have a heart, but it doesn't really display that heart on its shoulders, which I think is a shame because I think it should have displayed though. And it's basically that these kids... they both have some kind of, I don't want to say mental disability or anything like that, but they do have a mental disorder, if you will, as far as like when their father left them. Like the daughter, we find out in the movie that, you know, she feels like she's not good enough, which is why he left. Or the son here, apparently ever since the father left, he believes like everything has germs attached to it and he must clean everything off and stuff like that. I mean, it's not... they don't play these keys notes up to a T where it gets annoying. Just like, boy, just open the fucking door or something like that. But there's like it's kind of like in the background seeing it. It's just like, wow, you might actually have a real psychological story here. And I wouldn't be surprised if M. Night threw a twist in here where the kids were a little bit more deranged than the actual adults here. But, yeah, M. Night didn't go that route because, like I said, that really was the heart of the story here. But it felt like that heart wasn't being worn on its chest or its sleeves, for that matter. It was, like, damn near under the shirt. And you got to go up the spinal cord to go find this motherfucker. The twist in this movie now is Mom gets back from vacation. And that's right, motherfuckers, this is movie spoilers. This is what we do here, people. Mom comes back from vacation, and they call them. And, you know, they called her at first or whatever. And, you know, Tyler is his name. He straight off the bat said, no, it's weird here. I don't care what they say. And Becca's the one saying, on a level of 1 to 10, Mom, it's only on a 1. It's that weird. It's not weird. I mean, because, you know, Tyler found that Grandpa was fucking taking shits in his diaper and putting them in a fucking barn and just letting them sit there. Grandma kind of blanking out sometimes, and she'll just be walking the hallways, throwing up whatever and stuff. And Becca just pretty much said, Mom, they're just old, you know. They're not doing anything to harm us or anything like that, because Mom was like, you know, let me know. You know, she was cool at first. I mean, she did tell them, yeah, they're old and stuff like that, but then she was just like, I don't know about this. You need to, if you say you're okay, then you're okay, but, you know, give me a call. So finally, they set up a camera to watch these old fucks at nighttime. And there's one point where Grandma jumped in front of the fucking camera looking like a goddamn exorcist bitch. I'm not gonna lie, I still would have hit. I mean, she was looking good. I had that black makeup around her eyes and shit like that. But then she decides to bring the camera upstairs, leave it on the floor, and she grabbed a knife and started beating on the kids' bedroom to come in. And now that's when they watched that and they said, okay, shit just got real. It's getting threatening in here. Call Mom now, and we need to get the fuck up out of here. They called Mom on Skype and said, you need to come get us now. This shit is crazy. And next you know it, she was like, where are the grandparents at? Here's the twist, people. She said, here. They pointed the laptop outside. And then Mom says, have you been with those people all this time? Because that's not your grandparents. There's a twist, which I'm not gonna lie, that twist kind of got me like, oh, now shit's about to get real. Because at first you're thinking, okay, it's some supernatural stuff going on, and no, not really. I mean, it really is just these two old people who we thought was their grandparents, but turns out they're not their grandparents. And there's been all kinds of talk about a mental ward where they go do stuff. We find out that these old folks, because there's a basement they said never go into. Well, Becca decided to go in the fucking basement. She said, fuck that, one night. They were playing games, whatever, and stuff. And she went in this basement and discovered that, well, she found a grandma in a trash can. And then she found some mental ward clothes in that trash can as well. So these two old fucks came from the mental institution. And they need to get the fuck out of here. I thought that was a pretty good twist. I got to give the movie a little bit of credit there. But the problem with that is, this movie is an hour and 40 fucking minutes, and that didn't happen until the last 15 minutes of the film. And I was like, I'm already tired and exhausted from sitting here watching a bunch of nothing until you reveal a kick-asses, but a very interesting twist in this film, whatever, which I was very fucking excited to see. Because as soon as this gets revealed, Grandpa locks her into the bedroom where he put Grandma away. And we find out that he knocked the boy upside his head. And I thought he was going to rape the boy at first. I'm not going to lie, because he kept rubbing on his cheek. And then you see a scene where he pulls his pants down and stuff like that. He's just like, holy shit. M. Night shit's about to get real up in here. Meanwhile, Becca is locked in this room with Grandma. And Grandma finally attacks her. But Becca just fucking stabs the shit out of her with this glass piece. And Grandpa straight up takes a shit in his diaper and tells the boy, I never did like you. Well, I take that back. Ain't his grandpa, really, or whatever. This fucking mental dude. Or I never did like you. And then he says, and I heard you don't like germs, huh? And he takes this diaper full of shit and rubs it in this boy's face. And he's just like, oh, fuck you, dude. Oh, I'd have killed that motherfucker right there just for that. I'd have been scared out of my fucking pants. But the fact that he rubs shit in your fucking face, oh, God. I'm just talking about it, just fucking makes me want to beat his ass. But
And he keeps doing it over and over. And the kid even said, for like 30 minutes, he's rubbing shit in my face. So finally, Becca gets out and she jumps on him. And then I remember this, the boy told a story. Tyler, he told a story about how he just froze when he was under pressure or something like that. And he kind of froze here too. But then out of nowhere, he just fucking starts tackling Grandpa and knocking his ass down until finally they, how did they kill him? I can't. Oh, Tyler fucking snapped and kept pushing his head into the fucking, kept slamming the refrigerator door on him and shit. So enough. Oh, and then the mother shows up with the police, obviously, at the last minute, like every cliche fucking film and stuff like that. They show up at the last minute, they save him and stuff like that. These kids are, they're already fucking fucked up in the head from when their father left them. They're pretty much probably fucked up even now, though. And then they do an interview with the mother, as far as the documentary go that Becca was doing about why she really did leave her parents' house and what happened in that situation and stuff like that. I thought off and all the movie was bullshit from beginning to end. Well, at least the middle part was definitely some bullshit. The beginning, it was an okay setup. I wasn't going to knock it that much, but I think the ending is really when it picked up. The problem I have with the ending, like I said, though, is it doesn't last that long. It was annoying as shit to have this cool-ass twist. And the movie, honestly, before that twist even came, to me, it was just losing momentum. Every drop. It fell right into that found footage territory where it just kept something crazy happened right here. Oh, let's scream one time. Then the camera shuts off and the next day appears or whatever. It's just like, oh my fucking God, come on now. Not this technique again. I really think that, because yes, I do have beef with M. Night, please, people. And trust me, it's not for Avatar. I can give a shit less about that. It was for fucking Lady in the Water. That movie sucked the soul out of my asshole. I've never had a movie just suck the soul out of me so badly like Lady in the Water. That movie was boring, pretentious, and made no goddamn sense whatsoever. I think it's one of the worst fucking movies I've ever witnessed. But I really think that M. Night probably... Well, that's another thing about his movies. They tend to be fucking boring as well. I mean, all of his movies are boring. But I think M. Night on his hands here, because he wrote this too, he probably has somewhat of a good... direction he had. This probably could have been one of his better films, but I have a feeling that Blumhouse came in and stepped in, because they make these cheap ass movies and they all end up in the same formula where they just end up sucking, to be honest. But I think M. Night finally, I had a film on his hands where he was kind of not as serious as most of his fucking films, because most of his films got like some deep impact. Granted, there's some bullshit ass deep impact, but they're usually some deep, meaningful message or something about some bullshit that only M. Night cares about. But I think here he was kind of let loose and having a little bit of fun. Like I said, the kids are pretty good. I like their little banter back and forth. And you know, it was nice to see the two. It's nice to see a brother and sister that actually just got along. They were like good friends and stuff like that. I mean, they gave each other shit from time to time. But the two had so much good chemistry that it felt like as if it was they were a natural brother and sister. So I got to give them credit on that one. But the rest of the movie, I'm not gonna lie, I was ready to get the fuck up out of here. I was bored out of my fucking mind. Thank God for the ending, because of that ending, though, it gets a low streaming. And I'm talking bottom barrel low streaming, because you really do gotta watch the whole movie just to have any kind of impact with this twist or anything like that. And I'm sorry, but the rest of the movie is some fucking straight out bullshit. And Blumhouse, Jason Blum, man. Get your cheap ass off your cheap ass couch, man. Stop making these cheap ass fucking horror films. Please, for the love of fucking God, man. Put some thought and process into these fucking films, dude.
Mom, there's something wrong with Nana and Papa.
They're just old.
Bear with them for a couple of days.
Nana, are you okay?
Inside the oven to clean it.
Stop! Now!